Former White House Social Secretaries Lee Berman, who worked for George and Laura Bush, and Jeremy Bernard, who worked for Barack and Michelle Obama, have written the new book, Treating People Well, The Extraordinary Power of Civility at Work and in Life. Whether you need to make friends with a prickly coworker, keep cool in a crisis, or tell a joke to Oprah, Berman and Bernard offer tactful advice. They say you'll learn how to navigate job interviews and office politics, dinner parties, family gatherings with effectiveness and ease. They share fascinating backstage White House anecdotes and provide step-by-step guidance on how to charm others, think ahead, and win the day in all kinds of settings. Again, the name of the book is Treating People Well, and we welcome Lee Berman and Jeremy Bernard to the roundtable this morning. Thank you both for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thrilled to be on. Thank you.
So how did this project come to be, Leah?
Well, you know, Jeremy and I met each other because there is a group, an informal group of former social secretaries who are a support system for whoever the current social secretary is. And there's a tradition that the outgoing social secretary hosts a luncheon for the incoming, and it gives them an opportunity to learn about their own experiences and show them how they had difficult times and work their way through them and sort of give a lot of tips about how to get along in the White House. So Jeremy and I met that way as he was coming in, and we just kind of clicked and remained friends after that.
Leah, you worked in the Bush administration, and Jeremy, you worked in the Obama administration. When it comes to that job of social secretary, Jeremy, what primarily is your role?
It's a good question. People always say, "Oh, you do state dinners," which is true. We're in charge of the state dinner, but it's much more than that. Anything that occurs in the White House, a press conference, a announcement like of a cabinet member, or the president addressing the nation, anything that happens at the White House or the Rose Garden is our responsibility, unless it's the Oval Office and the press room. So we could have 3-4 events on the average day. So it kept you pretty busy.
So, Leah, when it comes to writing a book about civility and treating people well, how do these two things come together in the sense of your job as a social secretary and then being concerned about civility in our workplace and our home environments?
We found in our jobs that as social secretaries, when we treat people with respect and dignity and give them the benefit of the doubt when we could, they almost always responded in the same way. And we realized this was something that changed our daily behavior and for the better, and thought this is something other people could benefit from learning. So we put together our tricks and techniques and devices and created a book for people who maybe feel unsure of themselves in social settings. You know, they'd like to get along more easily with others. They want to break through to a new level of cooperation with their boss or their coworkers. You know, we give specific advice for how to exude confidence even when you don't feel it, or how to establish your reputation as a person that people like and trust and want to help.
We have stories from other social secretaries in there. So for each point we make, we have a story to go with it to build interest. So it's not just a set of 12 different steps. There are stories for each one that help make it a more interesting civility to a lot of people. It sounds good, but it's not terribly sexy. But you mix it with the right stories, and it's really good.
How much of it comes from the top in the sense of, as a presidential secretary, they are telling you how they would like to respond, or how much of it is really looking at your skills and trying to fill in some of the gaps so that everything goes according to Hoyle?
You know, I feel that I learned a great deal from the Bushes just watching how they operate, particularly from Laura Bush, with whom I had more frequent contact during the day. And she was a very good manager of people. She would do things like pop down to the East Wing unannounced and stick her head in the door and say, in the most friendly way, "What are you working on today?" And then she'd sit down and we'd talk about what I was working on. I'd show her photographs of, you know, dishes or flowers or things I was thinking about. And then she'd go down the hall to the next office and the next. And we all got a sense that we were in it together with her. She cared about what we were doing, and she cared about us, which in turn made us feel very loyal to her. And it built kind of a team effort that was very positive. And it was one of the useful things that I learned then to pay that forward and treat my own staff that way as well.
Jeremy, same question for you.
I think Lee and I realized early on that even though we worked for two different administrations, two different parties with very different beliefs, we both worked for individuals that really knew how to treat people well and wanted to make sure that anyone that came in the White House felt welcomed. Because for a lot of people, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it takes a lot to get in. You have to give your Social Security, birth date, all these different things. And then you have to go through the Secret Service. So by the time you get a guest gets in, you want to make sure they feel really welcomed. So we really do the same thing that so many other people do. Our job just happened to be at the White House.
So when it comes to treating people well, what is it that we can do in our lives? What is it that we can take from two experienced White House social secretaries and bring to our lives to help treat people better?
Well, you know, it just takes the awareness to make a little bit of extra effort with someone. If you hold a door open for a person, if you make eye contact and smile and say thank you to the store clerk, if you don't cut someone off in traffic, you're creating these small positive experiences. And then when you behave like that with the people you work with every day, your family members, your neighbors, they start to see you as a person worthy of respect and trust. And it changes how they think of you and how they respond to you. They tend to be much more relaxed and trusting. And suddenly life is a little easier for everyone. And we all have the power to do that. You know, at this time of year, I remember a story when I was working at the White House and it had been horrible, snowy, sleet kind of day. And we had had several events and it was very difficult and chaotic because of the weather. And I came out of the White House at about 9:30 at night and I was dressed, you know, for events in high heels and a skirt. And I was dreading digging out my car, and I looked at my car and one of the groundskeepers had cleaned it off for me. And it was so unexpected and I was so grateful that it actually brought tears to my eyes, and I've never forgotten it. And it was a small thing to them. It was enormous to me. And I think if we realize the power we have to really enhance other people's lives in small ways, we would be a lot more likely to do it.
I think Lee hit on a couple of key points, and that is that you have to be aware and living in the now and not focusing on something else. And it's amazing how the little things make such a big difference. I live in Los Angeles, so I deal with LA traffic. I mean, there's a lot of frustration dealing with that. And I am now very aware of how I behave, because if someone obviously is turning into your lane or could cause an accident or you some harm, you honk. But if someone's just moving slowly or they're changing lanes and they're taking too long, I take a breath and I don't react as quickly as I've almost been programmed to react, because the way we move about day to day is so quick and we want instant gratification and things to happen just really fast. And so it makes it where you have to kind of take a breath and think about it and think about how you're going to treat someone, whether it's holding the elevator door open or buying someone a cup of coffee. Any little thing makes a big difference.
Given that this book is about civility, given that this book is about treating people well, would either one of you want to work in the current White House?
You know, I would never work in the White House again. It's just my personal belief that when the Founding Fathers said, you know, government service is not meant to be a lifetime career, I think that's true. It's a very exhausting, stressful job, and I honestly don't know how people could work in more than one White House.
After 4.5 years, I will say I enjoyed it so much, but I was ready to move on, because it is so fast-paced and so 24/7 that it really does take a toll. So people ask, do you wish you were back? Do you miss it? I said, I miss the people, but I spent enough time there, so it worked out great.
You both civilly, very nicely dodged the question. So would you, given if you had not worked in a previous White House, and given what your instincts are and the moral and value code that you both hold, would you want to work in this current environment?
I was always the wrong kind of person to work in the White House. If you look at the kind of people who are drawn to a White House, they are hyper-ambitious, they're combative, they're driven, and they love to fight. And I am the opposite of that personality. So it was maybe more of an effort for me to be there than for many people who we worked with. And it's just, it wouldn't be for me.
Yeah, I will say it's a little easier for me to know right off the bat, because being a Democrat, I know that wouldn't be something that would be an option or that I would want to be an option.
Right. Well, it brings up a good point, and I'm glad you did, Jeremy, which is, how much is politics a part? I mean, it gets down to right and wrong here, too, though, right? I mean, in your job, politics didn't have a tremendous amount. I mean, I guess it helps to get the job in the first place. But as far as the politics goes, your job really is to do what is right.
Absolutely. But you are also, you do represent the president and first lady. So you want to make sure you don't do anything that would embarrass them. But you also, I mean, so whoever is working, they represent that administration.
Right. If you're reading about a social secretary in the news, something has gone very wrong. Social secretaries try to stay under the radar as much as possible. And they are largely apolitical. I mean, the parties they give and the events that they produce reflect the policies and the style of the president, but we don't make that policy.
And did you have a department, or were you the sole person? I mean, how many people were in your working with you?
I had a staff of four.
Mine was a staff of five, and then we had two interns each semester. I believe it's probably, Lee may know, I don't know how many are there now, but it's kind of the norm now, and you always feel understaffed.
Because there's always so much to do.
People are calligraphers, so they're sitting at their desks writing all day long. Some of those people are taking responses via email or over the phone from guests saying whether or not they're coming, or often, you know, probably half of the time we had to call people who hadn't responded to invitations and say, can you tell us if you'll be coming? Because that seems to be something that a lot of people don't understand, that if you're invited to the White House, if you're invited anywhere, you need to respond and tell people if you're coming or not.
Ultimately, what do you hope people get out of the book?
My hope is that it does for someone else and others what it did for me, and that is it made me stop, look, and listen. Listen to someone else speaking. Listen to what they're saying. There's so much, you know, argument and debate, and you can disagree with someone without being disagreeable. And I think that working on this book has helped me be better because I try to practice the things we talked about. It's not easy. Bad behavior is contagious, but doing the right thing and being good to other people, treating them well, is really, really important, and it makes you happier.
One of the things that I learned that was very useful to me was to understand that when you don't respond angrily to someone who is angry, when you're in a conflict, you take a moment to step back and reflect on what they might actually be telling you, which is not often what they're specifically saying, and to understand where they're coming from, you're much less likely to engage in an aggravated conflict with them. Often we think that it's all about us. And, you know, maybe someone is just having a bad day. They're distracted because they're worrying about money. There's someone in their family who's not well. Whatever it is that's bothering them, they're not their best self that day. And it's usually not personal to you. And if you can remember that when someone is being very unpleasant and respond with some equanimity, it just takes all of that tension out of the room, and it makes it easier to find some kind of resolution to whatever the problem is.
Lee Berman and Jeremy Bernard are the former White House social secretaries who have authored the new book, Treating People Well, The Extraordinary Power of Civility at Work and in Life. The book is published by Scribner. Thank you both so much for being with us and sharing with us this morning. Very nice to have you both on the program.
Thank you so much.
We enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Treating People Well, The Extraordinary Power of Civility at Work and in Life. The book is published by Scribner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.